Good morning, gorgeous. How are you ladies doing this morning? I hope you're doing wonderful. Welcome to the Dr. Daff Show. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle Daff. And I know it's been a while, but I'm back posting content regularly. We are continuing our series, His Crown, where we talk about how you, my love, can be your husband's crown, how you can bring femininity and you can bring godly character into your marriage. And we're talking today specifically about the character trait of self-control and how you can control yourself in your marriage. This is one of the most difficult parts of being married. Learning to flow and live and grow with another person. There can be so many things that come up that test your self-control, that make you want to act outside of yourself, and you're constantly having to decide how you're going to behave. Self-control can literally make or break a marriage, depending on how you're able to control your words, your actions, your own habits, without controlling him. That's the key, is that this is also a call for you to step aside from trying to control him, but learning to truly control yourself, because that's where the key is. That's where the change really takes place, is when you truly have mastery over your thoughts and your actions. So I want you to go ahead and sit back, relax, get something to drink, get something to write with, and let's talk about this. When it comes to learning how to control yourself as a beautiful feminine woman, as a godly wife, as your husband's crown, this is something that is rooted in behaviors. This is something that can truly come from experiences that you've had in your past. It can come from your personality. It can come from different areas, maybe different issues that you struggle with your emotions, maybe mental illness. There are things that can truly impact your ability to be able to say, no, I shouldn't, I won't. Even things like ADHD. So there are lots of factors with this particular fruit of the spirit. But one thing I want to say at the beginning is that this is not something that you have to do by yourself. This is not something that you are fully saying that I'm going to make myself do this. I'm going to make myself stop doing this. The fruit of the spirit is the evidence of God inside of you. It's you releasing your control to God to say, I need help with this area. Please help me. So you're inviting God to help you to control yourself, because most of us really aren't able to control ourselves. Not able to control how much you're eating, not how much you spend, how you use your mouth, the things that you say, gossiping, drugs, alcohol. There are so many things that we as human beings struggle with on our own. And if we don't invite God into these things, we really can't ever stop. It just gets worse and worse and worse. So I want you to know right away that these are the fruit of the Spirit, where the Lord is manifesting himself through you into your marriage. So one of the areas, and I'm going to talk about maybe four or five different areas and examples of ways that you can practice more self-control in your marriage. But one of the biggest areas that truly impact relationships and marriages is not being able to control your curiosity. If you're in a marriage where maybe you're seeing your husband doing some things that could be a little suspicious, maybe you are feeling insecure about things because of life circumstances. Maybe you've gained a lot of weight and you don't feel attractive. Maybe he's been really busy and so you think he's not interested in you anymore. Maybe you are in a place where, you know, you're not communicating as much, and so you're wondering if he's communicating with someone else, or maybe he got involved in some sort of activity or club and you're not part of that, and so you're just really curious as to what goes on behind the scenes. Maybe you have a husband who works in a certain career where you don't get a lot of insight into what he's actually doing, and you want to know. You're curious. He doesn't talk to you about these things. Perhaps there may be certain things going on with his family, and you don't get involved, or you're not invited, I should say, into those family discussions. And so you want to know, you're curious. curiosity can be one of those areas that can pull us into losing our control, or we feel like we are so overtaken with the feeling of wanting to know that we overstep boundaries. And with every single thing in our lives, there should be boundaries. The Lord gave us boundaries. When He created the earth, He separated the dry land from the water, the sky from the earth and the water. I mean, everything has been separated because God respects boundaries. God puts boundaries in place so that we know where we end and where someone else begins. Boundaries are also important in marriage. And when you struggle with self-control, you will struggle with overstepping your husband's boundaries. So what that looks like in terms of curiosity is if you have a habitual behavior of going through his stuff, going through his belongings, his suitcase, his cell phone, his laptop, his pockets, if you do his laundry, if you're someone who is actively, constantly seeking to find something, this is an area that really needs to be pulled in, because this comes from a lack of trust. This comes from insecurity. This comes from maybe even things that he has already done in the past, and they're creeping up constantly. So any little sign of it, you want to investigate. This can be you going through all of his comments on his social media, or going into his inbox, and all these things that, you know, when you think about it, you have to ask yourself, why am I in this position where I am doing these things? And get to those core issues instead of spending time in strife and worry and anxiety and in lack of self-control. So when you are practicing self-control as his crown, then you are respecting his boundaries. Now, when we talk about self-control, it is one of those areas where we have to think of these behaviors as habits, things that we're doing habitually. If you do something one time or in a very rare circumstance, it's not normal for you. Like, that's something that you're acting out of character. These are things that you are doing constantly, or you are wanting to do constantly, you are thinking about constantly. This is where self-control really takes root, is you're not able to stop and say, should I do this? When we're practicing self-control, we are saying to ourselves, what happens if I do this? If I go through his phone, what could happen? He may not trust me anymore. We may get into a big fight. This can blow up and bring about other issues and become a bigger issue than it is. I may find something that I don't want to find. I may find nothing and then be left with a lot of guilt and shame. I may end up having a habit of doing this consistently. I may lose my own sense of self by doing these things. I mean, there are so many things to weigh. And then it's like, okay, what's the good side about me going through his phone? I'll feel more comfortable knowing that he's not cheating and he's not doing whatever I think he's doing. But the truth is, it won't make you feel more comfortable. If you really believe that he's doing those things, it won't actually work. You're just going to think, well, maybe he deleted it. Maybe he talks on his friend's phone. Maybe he doesn't talk on the phone at all. He just sees the person. You know, your mind will just search for new avenues to get whatever it is you're seeking. So you doing that doesn't even solve the issue. The issue is much bigger, but it can create serious problems for yourself and your marriage. So practicing self-control looks like you saying, I really want to look through his phone because it's right there and it's unlocked and I saw someone's name pop up. I don't know who this person is, but I'm not going to do it. I may ask him instead, oh, who is Cynthia? Who is Raquel? And allow him to be able to tell me who this person is. He may say, why? You may say, well, I just saw the name pop up on your phone. I'm curious. Versus you going through his phone and then him knowing that you did that. Another way that you can practice self-control in your marriage is by being a good listener. It is a blessing to have a wife who is a good listener. It's a blessing to have a friend who's a good listener. Anyone who truly knows how to listen is a blessing in another person's life, because we live in a world where everyone has like their own agenda. People have so much going on within their minds, within their lives, and we like to be able to pour out, to share, to seek comfort in other people. And it's very difficult when you're in a vulnerable moment, or you just have a thought. Maybe you're not vulnerable, but you just want to share something, and the person that you're sharing it with can't seem to actually listen to you. It can bring about feelings that make you feel disrespected, unheard, unimportant. And yes, it may sound really minor, but in reality, when this becomes, again, a habit, it shows that you truly don't value what this person is saying. It is very, very stressful to have conversations with people who are not good listeners. And when you're not a good listener, it means that you're not allowing the person to speak. And if you do allow them to speak, you're not actually listening to hear them, to hear the core of what they're saying, why they're saying what they're saying. So if you're constantly interrupting your husband when he's speaking because you have an opinion, you don't think that it's true, whatever he said, you have an answer to the question, whatever it is, if you're not allowing him to even finish his thoughts, this shows that you don't have self-control. It means that you need to work on holding your tongue, holding your thoughts, holding your opinions, holding your comments until he's finished. It also means that you don't respond right away. You know, you are quick to listen, but you're slow to speak. When you're slow to speak, you are waiting to be able to really digest whatever he said and maybe think about why he's saying that to you. Instead of reacting, taking the time to digest the information and then responding. This shows that you are really hearing him. You're not just hearing the words, but you're hearing him. And as his wife, he wants a woman who can see and hear him. Not think the worst of him, not be ready to fight, not just, you know, want drama. One he can actually speak to, and the person's willing and ready to hear him and address him, the man, not just addressing the issue. And this will lead to a more loving, respectful marriage. He'll be able to feel like you actually care about him and that you're not out to always just impose your own thoughts, beliefs, and make yourself look good in conversations. Another way you can practice self-control in your marriage is by having spirit-controlled temperament. We all have different temperaments, and some of us are a little bit more perky. Some of us are a little bit more quick to, you know, say things. Some of us are a little more introverted. We all have different temperaments in terms of like what it takes to get us riled up, what it takes to get us, you know, just in a place where we take action. We're all different in that way. We're all unique, and that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. However, when you are not controlled with your temperament, you are a firecracker. You're a dangerous weapon because there's no say as to what you will say, where you will say it, how you will say it, and people won't feel comfortable around you. You're a loose cannon. So what we want is spirit-controlled temperament. And there's actually a book on that if you want to read one. And it's actually titled Spirit-Controlled Temperament. And it's really interesting learning about different temperaments. But one way that you can practice self-control is by communicating when something is wrong. You don't want to be in a position where you're just allowing things to happen in your marriage constantly and you're never saying anything. You're just allowing yourself to be a doormat. You want to be able to communicate effectively. When something is wrong, you should feel comfortable and you should address it with your husband. But the way that you do it is what's going to matter. Your control over your emotions and over the way that you say it is going to matter. So communicating things effectively with love at the right time, in the right way, will make a huge difference in your marriage. And the only way you can really do this is by praying and asking God to help you in those moments, to give you the right opening, to calm you down, help you calm down in those moments when you feel yourself getting riled up. And if you're talking about something that's very painful, something that, you know, maybe has been an ongoing issue, if you notice that he is sort of dismissing you or not paying attention, that you don't start acting outside of yourself and say, oh, you know what, just forget it. You never listen to me anyway. You know what, this is a waste of time. That you don't get into this whole spiral, that you're able to stay on track and say what needs to be said. This shows maturity. And this is one of those things that will make a huge difference in your marriage. You may not see it right away, depending on the maturity level of you and your husband and, you know, just the history of your conversations. It may take a while to see a change, but you will start to see a change if you are able to consistently manage your temperament when you're upset. Another way that you can practice self-control in your marriage is by staying away from having like fits of rage and outbursts of anger. And this can happen oftentimes in marriages when we just become over and done with the situation. You know, people will say, you got on my last nerve, or that's the last time I'm going to allow this to happen. And like, we have this tally of like how many times I'm going to allow this to happen before I lose it, right? You've had enough. And this can also happen if you've had a really long day, or if, I don't know, he leaves the toilet seat up and you fall in it, you know, something that just really just drives you outside of yourself. It's very frustrating. And in those moments, you are faced with a decision as to if you're going to blow up on him, or if you're going to calmly, you know, with sternness, of course, tell him that you do not appreciate this behavior. We get ourselves into these things because we're living with this person all the time. We're seeing all of their faults. We're seeing everything. And we're still deciding to love them. It's a choice to love your husband. It's a decision that you make every single day. And you make it with your actions, how you treat him. And the easiest way to really see that is when things aren't so good. You know, it's easy to love people when everything is great. Who wouldn't? Like, why not? You really see that love when things are not great, or when there's little irritations throughout the day. Your husband may do little things that are just annoying, and you're like, why is he doing this? Why is he leaving the cabinet doors open? Or why is he leaving the microwave door open after he takes his food out? Like, why not just close the microwave? Like, that's insane, right? But that's something that can cause a serious issue if you're in a place where maybe that morning you've had enough. You're tired of him not closing the freaking microwave door. Like, why would you leave it open? Maybe you hit your head on it, right? And something happens and it's like, this person doesn't care about me, because clearly they do whatever they want. So we start telling ourselves these stories in our minds that the enemy allows us to just kind of like go down this rabbit hole of thoughts, where now we're thinking about all these different things and how you should have never married him, and how much easier it'd be if you were single, and how he just makes your life harder. All of these thoughts start creeping into your mind, and this is what brings you down. And this is what makes you start to feel like you don't really love him. You don't want to be in this marriage. You're unhappy. This is not fair. And this then brings so much discouragement, depression, and lots of other issues to your life. Learning how to see those things, take it in, and decide in that moment, okay, should I say something? How should I say it? When should I say it? You know, really, it really is a matter of either you don't say it and you just dismiss it, not because you're not mad about it, because you decided that it's really just not a big deal. You don't, it's fine, you know, it's fine. You're not upset about it and repressing that anger. You're saying it's fine. Or how you're going to say it. And you may need to say a little prayer and just say, Lord, please help me say this in a way that honors you. And you say, honey, you left the microwave door open. That's all you have to say, right? And you know, when it comes to self-control, especially in dealing with your husband, depending on what kind of husband you have, some of your husbands are very caring and loving and considerate, and some of your husbands not so much. And of course, it's much harder when you're dealing with someone who is a little bit tougher to handle. Especially because life has seasons, and a man who is so caring and loving and gentle could have a season in his life where he's not that way. So don't ever think that you're immune from experiencing these things. This is life, and people are, you know, just subject to the things that impact them in this world. So it's really important to surround yourself. I always say this because it's just the truth. Surrounding yourself with other women who you can model after. When you start to see people who are able to deal with certain things, it really changes your perspective. And this could be anything. If you see someone at the store who is being mistreated by someone and the way that they handle it is so beautiful, because you would have never done that. It allows you to see, okay, you know what? I actually have a choice. I can actually handle things in this way. It's not impossible for me to act this way. Like, we're shaped so much by television, by social media, by people with all their quotes and all their, I would never allow this to happen and don't do this, and giving you all this life advice that really is just a lot of craziness. But we take a lot of that stuff as gospel, as a way that we should live, as a way that we should be treated. And it's not true. And so because we do that, when things happen, a lot of times we can even make things a bigger deal than they are. But when you're around people, whether it means that you're actually physically around those people, or you watch them on social media, or you read about them in books, or you just read the Bible and you get to see examples of this, it helps to shape you. I remember being with a friend and she had a little baby. The baby was crying crazy and she was just gonna like relax with the baby and feed the baby. And her husband's like, hey, I'm hungry. And so she's so tired and she's just like, okay. So she gets the baby ready and everything. And he comes down and he's like, okay, he's ready. Everyone's bags are packed. They're ready to go get the sushi. And he sits down on the couch and he says, you know, can I just rest for like 20 minutes? Can I just take a short little nap? And she's just like, are you serious? Like, I just spent 30 minutes getting this baby ready, packing all the food, getting, you know, how much work it takes to get a baby ready to leave the house. And you tell me that now you want to take a nap? And you could see it on her face that she was just so irritated. But the way that she handled it, she just said, okay, I mean, how long do you think it's going to take? But like the way she handled that situation, I was shocked. I was like, but it was so powerful for me to watch that interaction happen. And he actually never got to take a nap because we all decided we're going to all go out together. So he was forced to go out. But that was such a beautiful thing for me to witness because I got to see how a person could behave in that situation. Is she going to go off on him? Is she going to say, why, what do you mean? I took all this time getting the baby ready. Are you serious? You know, she could have gone off on him. She could have rolled her eyes. She could have had an attitude with him, but she didn't. She did show her normal human reaction, like, but she did not disrespect him. She did not embarrass him, and she did not show any sort of disdain for him. And it is nice to be around people who have this kind of character because it shows you how you can choose to behave when you love God. All of this is a reflection of your love for God. People are seeing God inside of you. People who don't even believe in God, people who don't believe people love them, you may be the only person that they get to see. And when you're married to that person, you are a gift to them from God. When you're in Christ and he's living through you, you're a gift. And that gift is something that he does not deserve, but he's having anyway, just like you don't deserve so many things that God gives you. So in those moments, as difficult as it is, those are the moments that truly stretch your marriage. Those are the moments that heaven smiles on you. Those are the moments that open up blessings for you that you could never imagine will come your way because you are breaking out of the norm. You're breaking out of the bondage of being a slave to your emotions and everything that you want to say and everything that you feel. And you're acting higher. You're seeking the kingdom of God's ways, lifestyle, and behaviors. And this is how you truly see heaven touch earth in your marriage. And this is how your husband, supernaturally, it's not something you can explain, but he will also start to see you differently and start to change. And of course, self-control is something that many people struggle with because we live in a society that tells us that we have to be a certain kind of way, that we shouldn't allow this, that, you know, we deserve to be this and this and this and that. But let me tell you, a lot of people struggle with self-control because of their own sense of pride. Many people have so much pride in themselves, and because of that, they're not able to take a step back, weigh the decision, and decide how it's going to affect their marriage. It's just whatever makes them feel good in the moment, getting whatever it is off their chest in the moment, spending all this money. Like, you may have a husband who is really trying to build a family in a certain direction, but you're spending so much money, wasting money on all of these things that you're setting the family back financially. Your lack of self-control with spending is hurting your family. These little things are small, but serious. And every single area in your life really should be under the direction and the power of God. Everything. Self-control in every single thing. Sometimes you may need to go see a therapist because these issues are so deeply rooted. You may have lack of self-control because there are triggers that you have based on things that have happened in your life. And so every time those buttons get pushed, you act in ways that you can't even believe you acted in. You say things that you didn't even know could come out of your mouth, right? Because you were triggered. So there are things that you may need to see a therapist for, and that is something you do need to explore, because if you don't, you are saying that your marriage, your life, isn't worth it. We're all works in progress, and we all have different things that we struggle with. If you have the luxury, the ability to see someone to help you through these things so that they're not issues anymore, then why not? You know, so I encourage that for everyone. But I hope that this video was helpful to you. I hope that you just know that this is something that can be fixed. It can be changed. God is so powerful. There's nothing he cannot do. And from personal experience, I was someone who really struggled with self-control in terms of the things that I would say. And I just had to say certain things, even though I knew. I actually weighed the decision. I'm like, okay, if I say this, but I would still say it. And I thought, okay, this is bad. I know that this is bad and I'm still doing it. So what is the answer? And the answer was allowing God to take control of my tongue, take control of my choices. And he really did. To the point where now it's such a blessing that I'm able to truly wait, listen, take things in. And it has been a blessing for my marriage. And I know it will be for yours too. So I pray that self-control is something that you can try to reel in and bring to God, continue this conversation with him, and hopefully you will be able to see a change in your life. I hope that this podcast blessed you and gave you some, you know, new perspectives on self-control and how important it is and how you can implement it in your marriage. Thank you so much for spending time here with me today. And until next time, remember that in all things you do, make a feminine impression. Bye-bye.